Thank you, Pastor Jesse. It's good to see you guys. You're home. And I'm anyway, I'm only going to take my Chemex home. Children and some and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sunday morning that we can gather as a family to worship you, Lord, and to uplift the name of Jesus. We praise you, God, for all that you're doing, even with the chairs that we just heard, how that is going to serve you in another country, Lord. And we also thank you, God, for our immediate community here. We thank you for the teachers and administrator, aides and staff that are represented here in our church as well as in our community. Lord, we pray for them for a new school year, Lord, that you would be with them and that you would guide them and give them the patience they need among the changes that will happen and all the different guidelines that is going to come through this year, Lord. And so we pray for them, Lord, that you give them an extra dose of your grace and your goodness, Lord, and help them to teach well amidst the challenges that they might be facing, Lord. And we also pray for all the children coming, going back to school. We pray, God, that you would be with them, Lord, and also help them to adapt to the new environment. And some of them haven't even seen each other for a whole year. And so, Lord, it takes time to rebond and to relearn to socialize. So we pray for that as well, Lord, that you would be with our children. And once again, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and all that you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to finish our series in the Proverbs, right? And we've been talking with and we talked about how the fear of the Lord of we're going to end with a subject. I think that's a very sensitive subject for many of us here. And it's about anger. How many of you guys can say anger is something that I struggle with? Right? And I think if we're honest, all would raise our hand. And some of today, it's going to be a little bit more on the practical side of things, right? We're going to look through some verses in the book of Proverbs, and then I'm going to take my own spin verse in the book of Proverbs that really talked about wisdom on how to deal with anger. Now, as I'm going to preface this, because I think I'm going to bring in some resources that are not in the Bible, outside of the Bible, that are from psychology, people, therapists, and things of that nature. And I just want to say that I wisdom from God and wisdom that are out. The Bible does not speak exhaustively about everything, right? The Bible doesn't. Right? I mean, because then they didn't have the ability to look deep inside your brain, right? So there's things that we have learned about our human beings that helps us integrate what we believe in the Bible, right, with the science and the psychology. Now, that psychology and science under the authority of Scripture. To disagree with Scripture, then we might have a with Scripture, we should celebrate that. We should go, yeah, that's part of God's common grace, right? Just because someone is not a Christian doesn't mean that God hasn't given them insight into how the brain or how human behavior works. In fact, there are some really brilliant psychologists out there that are not Christians. They might not even have any faith affiliation at all. And yet, some of their insights are profound. Right? So as Christian, we're to be humble and also be open to learning without necessarily compromising our faith. We do need to critically check all that and submit them to the teaching of Scripture. Right? So we're going to start here with the title called The Dance of Anger. And that's actually a rip-off. It's a title of a book written by a well-known psychologist. And she actually wrote this book specifically for women, Right? For woman to handle anger with other women, for woman to handle anger issue with their daughters, with their mother, with their sisters, but it is very applicable for all of us, right? And worth read for many of us here. And I'll reference that book throughout this talk. Okay? I think it's a really, really good resource for us as well. Now, the Bible here tells us in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty warrior, and he who conquers. So we see the importance that the scripture has speaking about the importance of self-control and self-regulating when it comes to this very strong emotion that we have. And it gives us a place of a high value on it, right? Because without the ability to control oneself, right, we end up being a wrecking ball and destroying relationships around us, and also destroy other things, you know, other accomplishment that we might have built up. And so it is something that as Christians we continue to be in. Now, different definitions of anger, and I in my reading, hold on, there we go. Right, there's so many take on it. Here's Dallas Willard. In his book, The Divine Conspiracy, he devoted, I think, like 30 or 40 pages of his book on the problem of anger, because he believed that as a pastor and as a teacher, that anger at the heart of it is maybe the most destructive emotion if left unchecked, right? And it can really affect all of our life, including our spirituality. And so Dallas Willard, when he looks at the Sermon on the Mount, he concludes that we definitely need to take it seriously. And the definition of anger is a feeling that seizes in our body and immediately impels us toward interfering with and possibly even harming our will and interfere with our life. And the way that Dallas Willard looks at it is that all of us, okay, whether we like it or not, are little king and queen. So all of us have a little dominion called kingdom or queendom. Right? And whenever someone tried to come in and disrupt our sense of autonomy, our sense of well-being, right, or our sense of control or empowerment, we resist that. Right? That's a very natural instinct. You don't need to teach that. I mean, watch a toddler, right, Timmy. You know, he likes to say no a lot, right? Because that's something that is ingrained in him. Right, because it's healthy. It's actually not a bad thing, because what he's doing is like he's trying to establish his own personhood, his own autonomy, saying, hey, mommy, daddy, I'm a person. You need to treat me like one. Right? And so I'm developing my sense of boundaries. Okay? So all of us have all that within us. Now, it gets complicated, though, when we don't do it in the correct way, right? When we do it in a sinful way, when we take out lashing out on people, or when we direct our anger in a way that is inappropriate, such as taking revenge on people or gossip, or maybe even running away from the issues, right? So those are the things that are not healthy for us. But it is feeling that really controls our body. Even though our body is very strong and big, and yet this little feeling can actually overcomes us and direct our body towards a certain action. Right? That say, hey, stop it. Don't get any closer than this. I'm not comfortable. Where are you going? Right? And we want to fight back. Now here is another more positive definition of anger. Right, anger is a divinely implanted emotion closely allied to our instinct for right. It is designed to be used for constructive spiritual purposes. Who cannot feel anger at evil is a person who lacks enthusiasm for good. Right, this is from David Simon's Healing for Damaged Emotions. Right, and what he's saying there is that anger in itself is actually an emotion that God actually exhibit. Right? God is angry with sin. God is angry with injustice. And we've seen that. Right? And we've seen that a lot of time things only get done when someone is angry enough about a situation. Okay? Like Last year, we have Black Lives Matter protests, right? The George Floyd. And sometimes we might look at that and go, wow, why are people so angry? Well, people are angry because for many of them, for hundreds of years, things have not changed. And so the only way that they can make change is they have to rise up. Right? For example, the George Floyd case. I'm not sure if that police officer would have been convicted if there was not enough anger that rose up and said, hey, we demand change. Right? So that's, even for society, that is an example of how anger can be an expression of change. That say, hey, something is not right and it needs to be made right. And that's something that we also experience personally, not only socially, but in each one of our life. Right? And then here's another definition of anger by Dr. Harriet Lerner from The Dance of Anger. Our anger may be a signal that we are doing more and giving more than we can comfortably do or give. Our anger may warn us that others are doing too much for us at the expense of our own competence and growth. Anger is neither legitimate nor illegitimate, meaningful nor pointless. Anger simply is. Anger is something we feel. It exists for a reason and always deserves our respect and attention. So what she is saying there is that anger can signal for us is that, hey, wait a minute. My sense of self-autonomy is being encroached upon. Right? And what we do with the anger, right, what we do with that emotion, the intentionality behind it is what makes it bad or good. Right? The emotion itself is actually something helpful for us to show us that we need to change. Right? We need to, or the situation that we're in need to change in order for us to grow. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, how we could do that for ourselves. When we recognize this kind of signal, right? How do we clearly communicate, hey, wait a minute, there's something going on here, right? I'm feeling edgy about this. I don't feel right about how you talking to me or how you treating me, right? What is a proper way then we can express our anger in a way that is healthy? Now, the Bible also tells us something very fascinating. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27, and this is from the Eugene Peterson translation. Say, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. And so from this interpretation, because it really is an interpretation, what Eugene Peterson is saying is that, yeah, anger can momentary can be a good thing, right? And express it, acknowledge it, but don't allow it to fester. Don't live in that environment forever, right? It has its purpose, and it needs to be used up, okay, and then be done with it. Okay, don't allow it to really take in your heart. Now, I think Dallas Willard also make a case that human beings, we're all people that make up of feelings. Right? We're emotional being. And one thing that I really appreciate from Dallas Willard more than other theologians is that he recognized the importance of emotion. Right? And that in order for us to actually become healthy and whole human being, we have to find healing, not only physically, mentally, but we also have to find healing by dealing with our feeling. Right? God actually has given us emotion, and these emotions are a way in which we can actually find healing and wholeness. Right? God is not saying, hey, you can find healing despite your feeling. God's saying you can actually find healing and wholeness through your emotions, through your feeling. And become the person that I've made you to be. So, in short, what is anger? Right, here, just something that I put together based on all the things that we just read here. It's an emotion that expresses displeasure towards someone or something. Right, it's a vehicle for change when confronted with injustice or improper boundaries. It resulted from a perceived wrong or infringement of the self. It expresses itself in a fight or flight patterns. and has its own internal logic that is highly capable of self-justification. And then lastly, it can be sinful if used to hurt others. This is the most common way we talk about it. And this is also the most common way the Bible addresses the sins of anger, is when we actually direct anger with an intention, right, to damage someone else, to hurt someone else. Now, as you could say, that is the emotion of anger bad in itself? No, right? We see that Ephesians 4:26 say, be angry, but sin not. Right? Jesus was also angry with those who have stubborn heart. Right? In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, furthermore, Jesus was angry when the disciple tried to keep the children away from Jesus. The Bible says that he was very indignant. Okay? And then Jesus was also angry with the money changers. So angry that he would create a whip and overturn the tables and drove them out. He took action, physical action, say, hey, this is not right. This is the house of prayer for all nations. This is supposed to be a house of worship for the Gentiles. And yet you have corrupted it. You have made it into something that is not what it was intended to be. Right? And so in his holy wrath, Jesus took action, right, and corrected the problem. Now, interestingly, Proverbs 22:24, verse 25 say, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his way and entangle yourself in a snare. Okay, furthermore, Proverbs 19:19 say, a man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Okay, so these verses are basically talking about a person who has a habit, a pattern of explosion, right? Of taking anger out on people, okay, in a very destructive way. And the Bible says, stay clear away from those kind of people, because they're going to influence you and they're going to hurt you. And then you will also learn anger from that person. So there's something in our brain called mimesis, right? It's mirror neuron. We copy people. And so when we express anger in a prolonged way, in a habitual way, right, it's not only damage us, okay, and even as parents, it will damage your children as well. Because your children will look at you and copy you and learn how you deal with anger, right? That's how I've dealt with my anger, is I've learned how my dad did it. Right, and so then I copy him unknowingly. Right, and so now as an adult, I can step back and go, whoa, okay, my dad has some unhealthy way of outbursts and dealing with his emotion. So I now have a greater awareness about myself, about my tendency, about my failures. And so with that intentionality, with that awareness, I can do something about it. I can beginning a process of change. Now, here is something very interesting, right? Anger iceberg. Okay, so when we see anger at the top, when we see expression of anger, it's usually just the tip of the iceberg. There's deeper issues underneath it. And some of those really deep issues that need to be dealt with is embarrassment, scare, rejection, nervous, depression, envious, guilt, annoy, hurt, insecure, trauma, right? Stress, loneliness, worry, helplessness, a sense of being trapped, shame, exhausted, helplessness, frustration, and grief. There's so many more, right? And so when we look at our own anger, one of the things that we need to do is say, hey, where is that anger really coming from? And sit long enough with it to beginning to process it, right? To beginning to ask ourselves questions. Why am I overreacting in this situation? Or maybe why am I underreacting in this situation? Because again, anger can express in way in which we run away from the situation and not dealing with it properly. Am I being fearful that someone's going to hurt me? Am I being fearful that if I tell the truth about my own feeling that I'm going to be rejected? Do I have issues of hurt and of pain, right? In Forrest Gump, Jenny, when she visited her old house where she was abused by her father, Right? The response that she had was she'd start picking up stone or rock and start chucking at it. Right? And then she ran out of rocks. Right? And Forrest like say, hey, there are days where there are not enough among us. Eight to them have gone through a lot of trauma. And as a result, they lash out. Right? And so we always need to also have empathy for people and step back and go, wait a minute. Maybe that anger is not really directed at me. It's not a personal thing. It could be that they're going through something that is so painful. And the only way that they could actually deal with it is by expressing it outwardly like that. And it might, and actually venting is not a healthy thing to do, but in that situation, that's the only way that that person is able to do that. Again, Dallas Willard say that, find a person who has embraced anger and you find a person with a wounded ego. Right? At the root cause of anger is a sense in which ourself, something deep in ourself, whether it's real or perceived, has been injured, has been hurt, has been abused. Right? And so we need to be very tender about that. Now, that does not mean that that person then has the right to act out or lash out. Right? We actually have to own our responsibility for our own emotions. Okay, that's how we get better. And this is an example of Cain, right? We see Cain's example in Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. It says, but on Cain and his offering, he, or God, did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. So in this encounter with Cain, I appreciate that God doesn't just go, hey, Cain, like, go away. Right? Cain, actually, God wants to dialogue with him. Because God wants to empathize with him. God wants to engage in a relationship with him that can be redemptive, can be transformative for him. And so the first thing that God does is he acknowledges Cain's anger. Right? He doesn't run away from it. God is big enough. He says, hey, I'm your God. I made you. Right? I know you're angry. You're upset with me. I know that. Right? So let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. Right? Cain, what's going on in your heart, in your soul? Why are you so angry? Right? And then God say, hey, listen, now that you've, you know, recognized your anger, right, you have a choice. You have a choice. Wow. Right? Anger does not need to be something that's so overwhelming that you feel like you have no control over it, that it just takes you automatically. No. You actually, in this moment right now, can stop and redirect yourself, right? And do something different about your thought, about your emotion. Right? And then God said to him, what does he say? He said, listen, but if you do what is right, right? So God is saying, hey, Cain, at the heart of this, you're mad at me, right? Because you think I reject you. Right? Wounded ego. Remember, Cain is thinking God is rejecting him, right? But God is saying, "No, I'm not rejecting you, right? I'm just saying that what you offer to me is not what I want, right? The sacrifice itself is what not pleasing to me, not you, right? But if you recognize that and you obey me and sacrifice what I've asked of you, right? Just like your brother did, then you have done right." And then your anger will no longer be there. It's no longer justified. Right? It dissipates. Now we know that that's not how Cain behaved or reacted to God's solution for him. Right? But there's a different way. And when we do that, when it becomes destructive, right? Anger is destructive nature. And we see in Cain's murder of his brother. And Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contentions. Right? Wrath is cruel anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Now, all those emotions there result from what? A wounded ego. Okay, and so now the last part here I want to deal with is wisely dealing with anger. Now that we see the destructive nature of it, what can we do about it? Right, the first thing here is I want to let you know venting is not the solution. Neither is running away from it. We must acknowledge our anger and personally take full responsibility for it. So when anger comes and surfaces, it's a signal for us. And we can be thankful for that. Right? We can acknowledge, say, yeah, I'm angry in this moment. Something is off. Okay, now what do I do with it? Right? How do I refocus? How do I calm myself down? Okay. Number two, we must radically accept the reality that you cannot change the other person. You can only be responsible for your own feeling and action. A lot of time we get into this dance, the struggle of anger with people that we love, right? Because we so want them to do what we want them to do. Like, come on, why do you just keep leaving the dishes out, not wash? How many times have I told you not to do that? Right? And we want, you know, and in that moment of frustration, right, we just get so upset and we're beginning to lash out, right? Now, in this moment, you must radically say, hey, regardless of how much I And so, when we do that, we exit the blaming freeway. Right? We stop pointing fingers at people. And when we stop pointing fingers at people, this is what end up happening. We can get so focused on what another person is doing wrong that we lose focus on our own creative options to calm things down and move differently. We must have the courage to do something different to change our own internal responses. The absolute key is changing ourselves and not the other person. Okay, so one of the things that I want you to do this morning is go ahead and raise your hand, either hand, right hand, right? Okay, this is your thumb, tuck it underneath, okay, and then tuck it this way. You know, that's the motto of your brain. Okay, that's the motto of your brain. Okay, this is the spinal cord that attaches your brain right here, okay? And the first thing when you have a feeling of anger or fear or anything like that, right, it travels up, and this is this is the amygdala, okay? Did I say that right? Amygdala? Yeah, something like that, right? That's a center that really deal with fight or flight, right? I'm getting ready to a fight or a flight, okay? It's very healthy thing, because when you meet a tiger, you need that, right? You go, oh man, that's a tiger. All the blood, oxygen's going to flow to your heart. Your heartbeat's going to race, right? Your body, your muscle, and everything is getting ready to either fight the danger or run as fast as you can from it, okay? So that's actually a very healthy thing to have, okay? And then this part right here, the top part of your, okay, is when you fold it over, that's the frontal lobe. Okay, the fun part of your brain, and that's the part that controls your reasoning, your logic, your creativity, right? This is your rational brain. Okay, now look at it. Right, it takes a lot longer for your rational brain for a signal to get to your rational brain, doesn't it? Where does it go first when you have an emotion, a strong emotion? It goes here first, right? And you know, Daniel Goleman, who's a therapist, talks about the amygdala hijack. Right, where such strong emotion get here, and if you don't deal with it here, right, you actually, your brain shut down completely, and it never gets to here where you're actually able to rationalize and come up with creative solution. Right? And so then you just get into a vicious cycle of just fighting people all the time or running away from people all the time. Right? And so what we need to do is we need to recognize how our brain works, Right? So in moment where we are stressed, where we have strong emotion, the first thing that we need to do is to, put a brake, right? We put a brake. Stop! Okay? For a married couple, sometimes what you need to do is, in a very heated moment, someone needs to go, hey, I can't deal with this right now. I need to walk away from it. And the other partner needs to recognize that and say, oh, that's okay. That person needs some time off to themselves, right? To cool down, right? To be able to then calm, right? Breathe, relax, right? And allow for maybe meditation to happen, prayers, okay? To calm your nervous system down so that you can actually kick off the part of your brain, this part of your brain, right, that say, oh, okay, I have something that I can think about now. I can remove myself and look at the situation and be able to go, oh, what is going on? How am I reacting? Is that the right and proper reaction? Am I overreacting? And, you know, is that the proper response? Am I overblowing the situation? Like, all those questions only come when you breathe, when you allow for this part right here to calm down a little bit, okay? So that's a good thing, okay? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Okay, that's proverb. So the first step in dealing with being angry is to calm yourself down, get a grip on your own anxiety and reactivity so we can think clearly. And you might need to step away and ask for space to process your own emotion. Now, when we saw that scripture verse, it said, a soft answer turn away wrath. Right? Whose wrath? The person's wrath that you're trying to turn down? Or is it your own wrath? Right? I think in my interpretation of that scripture, I think a soft answer actually supposed to turn down my own wrath, my own anger, right? Instead of the other person. Because a gentle answer first turned down my own anger, my own reactivity. Right? A gentle answer slows me down enough for me to have a better perspective of myself and how I'm feeling and acting in the moment. A gentle answer is not a tool to manipulate change in the other person. A lot of time, and as a Christian person, we go, if someone's really angry at me, I'm going to find a soft answer. And if I say it the right way, that person's supposed to not be angry at me anymore. Does that ever work? Maybe. Sometimes it does not work at all, right? Because that person knows exactly what you're doing. Right? That person's like, oh, you're just being religious. Right? You're just using your Bible knowledge to manipulate me, right? If you're a Christian, people, right? And then it gets worse, right? It's like feeling, again, that person now feel even more angry because you're trying to change him or her. So what is a gentle answer, right? A gentle answer is using I to describe how I'm feeling, right? A gentle answer clarify for myself what I value and what I'm willing or not. A gentle answer is not a laying down, step over me approach. Right? It's profound respect for the differences between the two of you, two people, without compromising your own core value. Right? A gentle answer is a habit that we can practice and get better at over time. It takes great effort and energy to stop a sinful, unproductive pattern. And we can help rewire our brain to be more productive through the practice of prayer and meditation, which leads to a greater level of mindfulness and self-understanding. Now, an example, a really good example of what a gentle answer looks like, okay, is in the from this book here called The Dance. And this is an interaction the therapist had with her son. Right, and he was about 3 years old, and he's holding a kitchen knife that's very sharp and about to cut an apple. And so me, the therapist, say, Matthew, put that knife down. You're going to cut yourself. Matthew responds, no, I'm not. Me, getting angry, yes, you are. Matthew, getting angrier, no, I'm not. Right? Me, even louder, yes, you are. Put it down. Put it down now. And Matthew, no, 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 and screaming his head off. Right? That's typical, right? And so here, at this point, this is how an iMessage, she's like, oh, wait a minute, I have a better way of doing this, right? And so here's an iMessage, right? Matthew, when I see that you with a sharp knife, I feel scared, right? So she's taking ownership of her feeling. I feel scared. I am worried that you will cut yourself. And then so Matthew paused, and he looked, and he said, that's your problem, Mommy. Hey, it's true. It's her problem, how she feels. To which I reply, you're absolutely right. Oh, now there's not a power struggle anymore. Right? Him. You're absolutely right, Matthew. It is my problem that I am scared, and I'm going to take care of my problem right now, taking the knife away from you. And then she took the knife away from Matthew. He has no fuss about it. Right? So in that typical interaction there, we see that she didn't ignore her own feeling, right? And she recognized interaction with you and communicate clearly enough to Matthew and say, hey, Mommy's scared. I feel really tense right now, Matthew, because I'm afraid that you hurt yourself. Child, understand that. And Matthew understood that, right? And it's comical how he's respond, right? But then it allowed her to then gently interact with him in a way that empathized with his own feeling and allow him to also interact with her in a very meaningful way, allow him to have his own agency. Okay, so I think that's very, very helpful for us. Now, the last point here I want to say is that a gentle answer is something that can help us connect with God's unconditional love and grace for us and for others. So in a moment where you are feeling afraid and scared and angry, right, a gentle answer might be breathing and go, Lord, thank you, God, that you love me. Right? That's a gentle answer to self. God, I'm afraid right now that you know, the other person will reject me, but I know you have accepted me. I'm unconditionally loved by you. Right? God, I feel hurt right now in this moment, but I know that you are my healer. Right, and I can trust you with my pain. Right, so those practice of meditations, of internalization, the Word of God, of who God is, help us creativity to deal with the situation. So at this moment, I'm going to go ahead and write our and I want to read to us from Ephesians chapter 4. As the worship team come, we're going to go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And then verse 30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be safe on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So a gentle answer to us this morning comes to us through the Scripture, through the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us, reminding us, my son, my daughter, you are loved by me. You're accepted by me. You've been forgiven by me. And I've cared for you. And because of that, you can then gently love others. You can gently respond well to others with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So as we enter a time and a space of worship, you know, are you angry with someone or with yourself in this moment? And if that's the case, maybe this is a time for you before the Lord to acknowledge that in worship and say, Lord, I'm struggling with my anger in this moment. And you could then confess that to the Lord and then ask God for wisdom on how to deal with that in this moment and allow the Lord to speak his love over you, his acceptance over you. Amen. So go ahead and stand together this morning in worship. And